This is the Life Truth Network. On October the 2nd, 2016, I was ordained to preach the gospel. The first minister to lay on hands was my father. He gave me two principles: preach the truth and love your people. With those principles in mind, I preach the word. I'm Nathan Caldwell, and this is Protectors of the Book.
So I'm about to preach, and this is the second thing I'm doing today. It'll be a second episode, another episode of Protectors of the Book. It won't be one right after the other. They'll be scheduled apart, so you'll be getting this maybe a week later than the first one you got, something like that. But the last one I did was the Sunday school lesson that I was going to do. And today I want to deal with the sermon I'll be preaching. Now, this will be not coming out until after the sermon will be done. But I don't want to have to record it during service, and I need to run through it now. So I'm doing it here. Now, here's the thing, though. It is interesting is, you know, I'm out here in the open, and Christian podcast community, every once in a while you'll hear them talking about what's it called? I almost want to say open field evangelism. That's not what it's called, though. It's when you're outside and you're preaching outside, kind of like street preacher. Well, I'm not exactly a street preacher. I'm in my own backyard, but you never know who's going to hear. I mean, other people do occasionally walk outside, and I don't have the smallest or quietest of mouths, so there's that. So as I stand here, I'm going to kind of try to work on my sermon. We'll start with Matthew 13, verse 24, and we'll go to verse 30. No, wait, I'm sorry, that's what I did last week. Matthew 6, starting with 24 and going to 34. And we'll go farther later, but that's where we'll start with. Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other." He says, you cannot serve God and mammon. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" He says, "Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, but yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith! Wherefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Let's pray. Lord, as I'm going through the sermon, I'm practicing, I'm preaching, I'm really trying to do this, and I want you to bless this. I'm not worthy, ever, but it's a message that you've wrote, and it's a message that deserves to be shared, and I want to share it with those listening on the podcast, with those listening maybe out here, and with the people I'm going to preach tomorrow. Help. In Jesus' name, amen. We all face times of seeming shortfalls and difficulties. When it seems we're not sure what we're going to do, what is the need? Where's that need going to come from? That, you know, how's it going to be supplied? And how do we keep from worrying? Because worrying is real. It happens. If you say you haven't worried, you're probably lying. Because I think we've all worried about something at some point in our lives. What's the solution to worry? How do we keep from doing that? Well, the first thing we need to know when it comes to worrying, or rather not worrying, about our needs being met, which is what this passage is talking about. So I don't want to go outside of that. I want to stay with, you know, the context. The first thing we need to realize is we don't serve wealth. Jesus said, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other." You can't serve God and mammon. Before this passage, Jesus talked about laying treasures in heaven and not on earth. Notice in the passage, he didn't say wealth was bad. I mean, look at Job, one of the most righteous men in the world, was also one of probably the most wealthy men in the world, as far as I can tell. Very wealthy man, but also very righteous. Being rich isn't a sin, but it sure doesn't need to be our motivation. It should not be what we serve. It should not be our God. It should not be our idol. We should have one main goal in life, and that's to serve and honor God. And I realize we got bills to pay. I'm not saying that we can't, you know, work to pay our bills. That's something that's required of us. We're trying to take care of ourselves. We're trying to take care of our families. I'm not saying that's wrong. But when wealth becomes an idol, when I will do anything just to make a buck, or when I will compromise even some things just to make a buck, that's a dangerous place to be. You see, God and the world are diametrically opposed. They're complete opposites. The world's do anything for money and power attitude goes in direct opposition to Christ and his commands. I mean, here it is. And, you know, I guess if you're having a red letter edition, here it is in red. You know, Jesus said it right here and in other places. We should not serve wealth. There is more to life. Matthew 6:25. "Therefore," Jesus said, "I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" And he's not asking them to answer. It's like one of those rhetorical questions that we use today. He's saying, by asking the question this way, he is saying, of course, obviously, life is more than just food. And who we are is more than the clothes that we wear. There is more to life than just material needs. There's more to life than just our material needs. God already has this under control. God already has the food and the clothes and drink, because you got to have water at least, right? He's got all this under control. Now, that's not to say you won't have times of trouble. That's not to say you won't have times of maybe seeming shortfalls. But what God deems you need, He will provide. If you're His child. If you're not His child, then you have more to worry about than what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, or what you're going to drink, because your soul is in danger. But if you have trusted Jesus Christ, what He deems we need, we will receive. Does that mean that we don't have responsibilities? No, it does not. But what it does mean is we don't need to worry about these things. I have seen over and over and over again the Lord provide. And listen, I'm not the best spiritual person in the world. Not saying I don't try, but I got a long way to go. But yet God still provides for me. I'm not the best dad. I'm not the best husband. But God still provides for me and my family. I'm not saying I don't try. I'm just saying that God knows my shortfalls and He still takes care of me. And I've seen it over and over and over again. And you know how that strengthens my faith? To see God working. So that when shortfalls come, when troubles and trials come, I ain't going to say I'm never shaken. But there is this thought in the back of my mind, I guess, that says, you know, God's gotten me through a whole lot worse than this. Jesus says in verse 26, "Behold, the fowls of the air. For they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they?" Now again, it's a rhetorical question, but do you understand the magnitude of the statement behind the question? When He says, "Are you not much better than they?" He is saying, you are much better than they are. You are much better. You are more important to God than the birds of the air, than the things, the plants. God's child is much more to God than just the animals or the plants. So if He feeds the animals and if He takes care of the plants, why wouldn't He feed you? Just want to stop to say that if you haven't trusted Christ, God considers you more important than the birds and the plants too. And He died for you. So that your soul could be saved. And that is by far more important than food or water or clothing or any money. Matthew 6:27 says, Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? It's like, and the way I always understood this was, what good does worrying actually accomplish you? You know, whoever got anything done by worrying? Now, we've gotten things done by taking action. But I've never gotten anything done by just fretting. All it's gotten me is a nervous stomach or something along those lines. It's never helped me. You can be concerned. You can be motivated to take care of things without worrying about them. And you can trust God to do them. Let's look at verse 28. And why take ye thought for raiment or clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet, I say unto you, Jesus says, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Look how God clothes the flowers in splendor. Have you seen how pretty the flowers are? Man, any husband or guy that has an interest in a lady, you know, we know how important flowers are to them. Why? Because they're gorgeous. They're amazing. And basically what Jesus is saying is if God will clothe those flowers in splendor and beauty, why do you not think God's going to take care of you? And then he scolds them for worrying over these things. Here's the thing. They did not realize how important they were to God. Which makes me wonder, do we realize how important we are to God? Think about the passages of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Or Romans 5:8. God showing his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, while we were yet dirty, rotten, no good, filthy sinners, God still died for us. Why would God go through all that and not take care of us? Let's look for a moment at Matthew 7 for a second, starting with verse 7, going to 11. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. What man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask him? If you're worried about something, go to God. If you're trying to figure out what the wisest course of action is, go to God. Back to Matthew 6, verse 31 and 32, Jesus says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. When he talks about the Gentiles, he's talking about people that don't believe in God. He's talking about the pagans. He said the pagans are all about trying to figure out what they're going to eat. They're all about trying to get themselves all dressed up and such. They pursue these things as if they are the most important things in the world. Food, clothes, worldly comforts. But God's children have more important things to concern ourselves with. We're supposed to serve God. Jesus says in verse 33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." While we take care of the things of God, God is going to take care of what we need. Folks, I consider this a promise. And again, I'm not saying there won't be shortfalls. I'm not saying there won't be suffering. I'm saying that what God deems you need, if you're his child, he will provide. He will take care of you. And we should not stress it. It doesn't help us. It hurts us. Jesus says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." He says, take one day at a time. Don't stress it. Today has enough issues to deal with. We don't need to borrow from tomorrow. And I have found myself semi-recently saying that. So, I don't need to borrow from tomorrow. I got to deal with today, you know. Here's some things we should remember in our lives. And again, I want to say that primarily I'm speaking to those who have trusted Christ. To those who haven't, I will come back to you in a moment. These principles: one, wealth should not be our motivation. It's a necessity. It's something that is going to be needed, at least in some form or fashion. And in and of itself, it's not evil, but it should not be our motivation. Number two, there's more to life than material possessions and material needs. There are more important things going on. There are souls dying and going to hell left and right. And there are people who don't know what to do and are making the wrong choices. There's more important things than just our material needs. Three, God has everything, everything under control. Trust Him. God is sovereign. The way I like to explain it is, He doesn't necessarily make everything happen, but He does allow it because nothing can happen to you or me without it first going by his desk first. And I know he doesn't really have a desk as far as I know, but what I'm saying is it has to come by his approval first. Doesn't mean he... I'll give you an example. God does not want me to sin, but he does allow me to. And I thank God for his forgiveness. I do. God doesn't want bad things to happen, but he allows men to choose bad things. Thankfully, he sent Jesus to pay for those. God has everything under control. There's nothing that happens that he doesn't allow. Mind you, I'm not saying he is directly responsible for. I said he allowed it. Now, there are some things he is directly responsible for. There are some things we do, and that was our choice. And for whatever reason, he allows it to happen. And he can use it for good, but he is in control of everything. Number four, serve God, doing what he has called you to do to the best of your ability. Say, I don't know what God's called me to do. Open your Bible. Pray. If you don't know what to do, start there. Number five, live life one day at a time. God will provide as he sees fit, and he knows all your needs, even better than we do. These principles aren't easy. We may spend the rest of our lives perfecting them. As a matter of fact, I'm pretty sure we will. But they are necessary if we want to serve God with all our heart, with all that's due Him. With that said, I now want to turn, as promised, to those who have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, to those who have not turned from their sin and turned to Christ. Let me tell you something. The Bible says everybody has sinned. All of us. Myself included. We've broken God's laws. We've broken our commandments. And that earns us death. Romans 3:23 says the wages of sin is death. No, I'm sorry. Romans 3:23 says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. But it also says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus, God, the Son, came down on earth in the form of man, 100% man, 100% God. Do I understand it all? I do not. I take that by faith. But I think if you look back through history, you will see this man existed. And he said and did things that really can't be explained apart from that. He came, he lived a perfect life. He never sinned once. He never broke commandment of God. Ever. And then he died on a cross. And you know why he did it? He did it to pay for our sin. Not his own. He's done nothing wrong. He paid for our sin. And then the third day he rose from the dead, securing our victory if we would just turn from our sin and trust him. And listen, I'm not talking about works, folks. I'm not talking about earning our way to heaven. I'm not talking about striving to the best of our ability never to sin again. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to sin, but I'm going to sin. When I say turn from now, it's an attitude, really. I'm asking God, I'm wanting God to forgive me of my sin. Man, I'm even wanting him to keep me from doing it as much as possible. To help me, to strengthen me from doing that. But my works can't get me to heaven. Only Jesus and his death and his resurrection. That's the only thing that saves me. It's the only thing that'll save you. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. And trust him. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it also says that Paul told the Philippian jailer, Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And thou shalt be saved. Surrender to God today. Because the Bible says if you ask him to save you, if you ask him to forgive you, and you truly mean it, that he will. He will. But just trust him. Don't trust your works. Don't trust some ritual. Don't trust baptism. Don't trust the Lord's Supper. Don't trust a church you go to. Don't trust your family members. Trust Jesus.